morning, Lee.
And this week we're talking a little bit about energy, aren't we?
We are. The miracles of self-consumption, we're going to call this one. And so over the years we've, everyone's continually heard me rabbiting on about how to get the most value out of your solar system. But to do that, you have to self-consume as much of the energy you produce as you can.
So let's chat about the difference between export, import and self-consumption, if you don't mind.
No problem at all. So for starters, most solar systems, as soon as the sun hits the panels first thing in the morning until the sun sets in the evening, just make energy, and they don't overly care where it goes. So it's either used by the house or it goes to the grid.
Understood. What about the export energy?
Okay, so this is the energy produced by the solar system, which is surplus to the site or house's requirements, and this goes out to the street. This energy is sold to your energy retailer, and it sits as a credit on your account. The amount you receive for this is around 8.4 cents per kilowatt hour, though First Energy will give you 13.4 cents, but only for the first 12 months. That's basically an enticement to get you to sign up for those guys. The rate is called the FIT, which stands for Feed-In Tariff. The FIT rate is set by the average of the wholesale price of electricity over the previous 12 months, and that rate is announced on the 1st of July every year.
Would I be right in saying this is low-value energy?
That is the low-value energy, you bang on.
So that's export energy. Let's talk about imported energy.
Okay, so this is the energy you buy from the grid. So at a night time when obviously your solar is not working, or cloudy days when the site or the house's requirements exceed the solar system's energy output, you'll pay for this energy. You're buying it in. And that'll cost you for whatever rate the tariff you're connected to costs. Obviously, we want to minimise the amount we import from the grid, as this costs us money, but also the credits we accrue from any energy we sell come off this amount when the bill is tallied up at the end of the 90-day period.
Okay, so that's imported energy. Let's have a look at self-consumption.
Okay, so this is the important bit. This is the energy your solar system has produced that is running your site or house. This is energy you haven't had to buy, so it's worth whatever you would have had to pay for it if you didn't have a solar system. On tariff 31, that'd be around 27 cents per kilowatt hour. On off-peak, on tariff 93, it's around 15 cents per kilowatt hour, and on peak period, on tariff 93, it's around 32 cents per kilowatt hour. One thing to note, though, that is all those rates are significantly higher than 8.4 cents that you would have had, which was all you would have got for it if you had sold that energy.
So exported energy is low-value energy, so alternatively, self-consumption is what we call high-value energy.
Exactly, it's high-value energy. That's the one we want.
So how do we go about maximising self-consumption?
That power, Lee. Many of our customers use a timer on a hot water cylinder to allow it to come on between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. This means your solar is heating your hot water for free. Think of this as the world's cheapest battery because we can dump that excess energy into the cylinder and store it as hot water later. If you have one of our LG heat pumps, you can look at how your solar's performing and just remotely via your LG phone app turn your heat pump on, or as they're properly called, reverse cycle air conditioner, on to use that energy as opposed to selling it to $8.4. So you can preheat or pre-cool your home during the day.
So what would you recommend? What do you use, Adrian?
So I personally use the timer function of my dishwasher and washing machine to come on during the day, so my solar system energises those appliances. It doesn't cost me a thing. I also use my slow cooker a lot. But really, I'm always looking for ways to increase my self-consumption, and I'm always interested in hearing how different people out there have come up with different solutions to increase the solar system's value.
Yeah, I suppose a few of your customers will have the same issue, and those listening this morning would say the same thing as well. So I guess systems design is very important.
That's right, and these days we're designing with more east and west, so this spreads your available power to self-consume, you know, through earlier through later in the day. This flattening of the power curve means, yes, your system will make a little bit less in a year as a total than if it was on a northern array, but it greatly improves your ability to harvest and convert that energy into high-value power by actually using it instead of selling it in the middle of the day when most homes are empty.
I guess it's all about being savvy, isn't it, and how do we use it? So, do have some numbers there for us.
Yeah, just some real quick numbers here. Now, these are just loose numbers. It gives you an idea of the importance of self-consumption, and these are based of a typical 6-kilowatt solar system, some performance, and we'll say the home's connected to tariff 93. So if you was to use 100% of your solar energy, and some of our customers, especially our commercial customers, do, 100% of self-consumption would save you $405 for 90 days. If you self-consume 50% of your energy and sold 50%, the savings would be $315 for 90 days, and this is probably a more typical example. If you only self-consume 25% and sold 75%, the saving would be $271 for 90 days. And lastly, if you sold at all and didn't self-consume a drop, the saving would only be $226 for 90 days.
Mm, pretty good numbers there. The numbers don't lie, and the more you use, the more value it is.
Exactly right, Lee. Now we'll go to our interesting energy factoid. How fast do you reckon electricity is, Lee?
I wouldn't have any idea, but I'm sure you're going to tell me.
So from the time you turn the light switch on to the time the energy, say, reaches a light in a typical house, it's pretty quick. It's about 80 to 90% the speed of light quick, or around 300 million metres per second quick. That's quick.
Mighty fast.
Yeah, so that energy travels as electromagnetic wave, but the electrons themselves are moving much slower. The difference between the two is called drift velocity. This in a copper wire can be as slow as 8 centimetres per hour. So if I was going to try to imagine this, Lee, in a layman's version of how I'd explain it, is you had a row of billiard balls and you lined them all up so they're all touching, and you hit one end with the cue ball, the energy passes through those balls and the far end ball pops away and moves. So the majority of the balls in that line have stayed stationary, but the energy has passed through them. This is the best way I can describe what's happening in your standard electrical cable.
You've described it well. I can understand that. And you at DMS Energy are the Northwest Coast's busiest solar installers, aren't you?
We are. We're flat out all the time putting up the solar, but as the name implies, we know a lot about anything energy-related, from power points, wiring up, heating, cooling homes, putting your very own power station on your roof. DMS Energy have you covered.
Good stuff. Now, those that your customers know exactly where you are, for those that are intending to be your customer, where do we find you, Adrian?
Showroom at 56 Sheffield Road, Sprayton, or give us a bell on 1300 502 599. Have a look at our Facebook page and our website, which is all the W's, dmsenergy.net.au.
You have a great day and a great week, and we'll have more power savers same time next Monday morning. Adrian Luke from DMS Energy.
Thanks again.